for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
MassMEP understands that there are so many elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or unlocking their growth that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations.
Every episode, take a journey with us as we talk with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts.
Whether we're in the Northeast,
Southeast,
Central, or Western regions of the Commonwealth,
every episode will explain more about manufacturing and what's happening in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Kevin Tejeda.
It is a new year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Resolution, did you do one or no?
No, I don't like resolutions.
Excellent. Just try to live
every day as if it's a resolution, you know?
I love it. Great answer. big thing I'm hearing a lot right now is vision boards. Did you anything like that?
No. I've had a boss in the past that loved vision boards, always put it up on a board. No, I'm not really into it.
No. Okay.
Well, too much.
All right. So basically what we're hearing then is it's the same for you this year as it was last year.
Yeah. Well, improvements definitely to come for sure.
Good.
I mean, come on, not staying stagnant or anything.
Okay. Good. All right. Still signing toasters, kissing babies,
yeah,
the usual.
I mean, that's all the same.
Good. That's always good. And resolutions, I'm with you. You got to live it one day at a time.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Every day there's a resolution that I could accomplish, I think. So
no doubt. 1% better every day.
But it is a new year. So welcome, everybody. Happy 2025. We are back. And we thought, why not start the year out with a bang? And let's go back into a conversation that basically from what I'm just listening to is it's like Groundhog Day. So maybe we're a month early for this one. But it is a super hot topic that we feel needs to have be in discussion, I think, every single day. Or a couple times a week. It's definitely things that people should be touching on. So we do want to welcome back our friends from Synergex. So welcome back, Pete. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You're welcome. And John, welcome back.
Hey.
Good to have you guys back. As usual, top notch on the swag. Always good stuff. What's crazy is, so the fanny pack that I got at our strategic resource showcase, walk into the paper store. They sell that brand at the paper store.
Come on.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it as cool? I mean,
they have some cool looks. I like the color though of the combination that you guys have. But they did have the fanny pack and some other things. But for me, I'm almost like paper store sells fancy, bougie stuff.
I mean, you know, cybersecurity is pretty fashionable stuff, Haley. We don't mess around. I know you should expect no less from Synergex ever.
I agree. What and so we haven't had one in a while, but what I just had your LinkedIn up and I was gonna kind of scroll through it. There was something I think I saw somebody posted. You guys do a really always do your posting. I thought I saw another fun little word. Or phrase, you know, we've had ninjas, we've had actors that happened not too long ago. I thought I saw you guys post something. So I was wondering, is there a new theme that we can kind of connect to right now?
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Kaylee does a wonderful job of staying on the trendy words. I don't remember. I mean, she was throwing around the smishing stuff a couple months ago, but there was a new one, right?
Yes,
there was a new
one.
I don't remember what it is, but
I'll do some perusing while we're chatting.
Mm-hmm. There's so much out there that's still happening with AI, and you know, it's every day is a new adventure in cybersecurity. And speaking of vision boards, I can't believe that is not on your vision boards. I mean, cybersecurity, being more compliant, should be a strategic endeavor. And if it's not on yours, We can do this workshop together, this offering.
This is great. This is great. So we just basically created a whole new product.
I love it. Vision,
Yeah.
cyber vision boards. We can even combine those words and make one up.
Yeah. I love it. I'm gonna now that's all that's gonna be rolling through my head like the next couple minutes we're talking. I'm trying to
Let's
figure out
go.
how to smash it together. Yeah, no, the what'd you call it? Smishing or
Smishing. Yeah,
mishing.
it's phishing via text message, smishing.
Yes. All the time I
Yeah.
get them.
Yep, it's awful.
Yeah.
Awful. I
USPS.
do
We
too.
can't deliver your package. It's stuck in customs.
Yep.
Good. Keep it
We
there.
I got a phone call from a friend of a friend of a friend during the holiday season who unfortunately fell for that. And this poor woman, her phone number was hijacked, and then they used it to compromise a bunch of other accounts. And then they were texting all the multi-factor authentication codes to the hacker, and she lost like 15 different accounts. It was hellish. Not to start everybody off with this
Oh no doubt.
conversation. Super scared, but yeah, it's awful stuff.
Because we all get them. We all get
Mm-hmm.
them. Everybody does. Oh, that's
Yes.
awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very vigilant on the phishing stuff. I tend to you get into the day-to-day grind and you forget. And then this
Yes.
morning I had one pop in my mailbox that looked very legitimate from Microsoft, but take a look at the headers, make sure it's coming from the source you think it is. Just stay vigilant on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got my
Mind your vision
mom.
board.
Yeah, my mom reached out to me one time and she's like, "Oh my gosh, the post office, they're saying the package is stuck." And I said, "How did they get your cell phone number?" She goes, "I have no idea." I go, "They didn't. It's not the post office. Like, stop." And she's like, "Oh, I never even thought of that." I go, "Yeah, they don't have your cell phone, mom. They don't have it. Your home phone, maybe, like if you did order something, but not your cell phone number." And she's like, "Oh my gosh, I never even thought of that." I'm like, "You wouldn't." Like, I mean, she's 80. Like, this isn't the thing that they think about. So, yeah, you're right. But I like the vision board thing. That's a great idea. I think we might be onto something for a new workshop that we'll be doing in 2025.
I'm really good at clipping out magazine articles. Let's do
I love it. Vision boarding.
it.
Vision boarding. So obviously, because it's a new year, we have super high expectations from Kevin with his icebreaker for today.
Oh,
So,
wow.
Kevin, what are you bringing to this table? Tough crowd here too, by the way.
I thought this one was pretty funny. I was scrolling through a lot of good choices, but I thought this one was kind of funny. Take it how you want, but what ice cream flavor sums up the day you're having? I'll start things off.
I
It's
got a great one.
I think mine's this one came right to my head when I thought about it. I mean, it's a cold day, heat's not working great in our office. I'm having a rocky road type of day, you know? I thought that was
Okay.
good. I thought
That's
it was
good.
good. I was
That's
gonna
good.
go with that one, Kevin. So
Yeah.
I'm thanks Great for going
mind.
first, Jeff.
Yeah.
Great mind.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What do you guys got?
It's a tough one. It's kind of like a thinker a little bit. I mean, or it could be
Yeah.
just straight up whatever you're feeling for the
I
day.
mean, yeah, you said ice cream and all I can think about is ice cream now. So you've actually made my day better. I can't really correlate the two. All I can think about is strawberry ice cream. Yeah, no analogy, but now I am gonna go get some ice cream after the call. So thank you.
I like that. I like that. It sounds like a good one.
I
Don't know
don't
if Ben and Jerry still does the coffee, buzz, 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 but I could use like that great caffeine pick me up. And
Okay.
it tends to be a theme in our office too. Just we're well caffeinated.
Oh my
That's a good
gosh, our
one.
budget for
That's a
coffee
good
went up threefold.
one. Love it. I love it. I'm going with Tutti Frutti.
Tutti
Lot of fruitcakes around here today.
Frutti.
Oh my.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
That's a
yeah,
good
yeah.
one.
Yeah, Tutti Frutti. You never know what you're gonna get. It's like a box of chocolates, like Forrest. It's like if the Forrest Gump had a flavor, that would be it. Yeah, Tutti Frutti. That's my day. I was almost gonna say bubble gum, but Yeah, no, I'm going with Tutti Frutti.
A lot of good picks. A lot of
That was a
good picks.
great question, Kevin. Very good
I
on
liked it. I
that.
thought it was good.
I like it. That was really good. That's a good one. That's a real fun one to use for it really catches you off guard and kind of go, oh crap. Like how, like, yeah, like John's like, how do you correlate that? But I had,
Good.
as soon as you said it, I was like, got it right away. Right
I
away. Came in right away.
love it. I
Yeah.
love it.
So obviously we have we try to get together with you guys a couple times a year to come in and talk about things. And I would say in the past couple of months, we've been seeing a lot more on the wire about CMMC. So the cybersecurity maturity, oh gosh, my mind just went blank.
Model certification.
Yes.
Yes, there you go. Say it
Got
again.
you. Cybersecurity
Cybersecurity.
mature
Yeah, go
model
ahead.
certification.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank
Tutti
you.
Frutti, strawberry, rocky road.
Exactly. CMMC. I forgot the maturity part. I wonder why. So anyway, yeah. So we've been seeing a lot of that lately. I know it's something I don't think we ever will not ever see it. We've always said that it'll definitely be something that's happening and that's coming about. So we thought, let's come together and talk because it has been such a hot topic and you are seeing it all over the place. You guys obviously do a great job of keeping everybody, like you were saying, about what you're posting and how you're posting things and the way that you do it. You hit it holistically from all avenues. So it's not just certain areas, but you hit it in a way that anybody can connect to, understanding, oh, like having one of those, oh my kind of moments and going, that's something we need to do. But because of CMMC, let's talk about what their quote unquote updates are in the world of CMMC as of where we are right now in January of 2025.
Pete, you want to take that one, big guy?
Sure. And I think it'll be like, what are the key takeaways from what was finalized in the 32 CFR rule? And it was a big document. I'm not going to go into in-depth and the nitty-gritty and all that area. And people are hearing a lot about it. There was a lot of buzz about, oh, this is a simplified version of what was originally presented for CMMC, what we now call CMMC 1.0. We're working off of that CMMC 2.0 model, which has been floating around since end of 2020 into 2021. What the big change and what why they're saying it was simplified is that final ruling got very specific on these three new CMMC levels, where that original level, and if you've just been following CMMC from the start and didn't get caught up on what CMMC 2.0 was all about, that first model had these five levels. So it's been simplified, reducing it down to these three levels. Handling federal contract information in level one, and we could go into more detail how that overlaps with some of CMMC level two, but level two being anything that's handling CUI, CUI, controlled unclassified information, and that level three being a higher level of C or CUI data. So that typically, for your primes, educational systems that are working on R&D type work, in those levels, level one, self-assessment, self-attestation, that continues similar to what we've been doing since 2017 with the NIST 800-171. Level two, most of level two will be a certification requirement. So you have to go out, contract with a certified third-party organization and reach certification. And then level three is also certification, but it's the DoD themselves performing those assessments. Trying to think of what else really rolled out of there. And there's been a lot of buzz, and I told you about the MSPs. Originally, they thought all MSPs might need to be CMMC certified. Now it's looking like if you can show that your MSP is in direct contact and handling any of that sensitive data, that CUI data, they don't need to be certified. But I guide you toward find out what your MSP is doing on that journey. Make sure that they're familiar with CMMC. And if they're offering a large kind of security stack package to you, it might be in your best interest to see, are they moving toward certification? Or at least where are they during their self-assessment of that model?
I was kind of disappointed, that was relaxed a little bit. I think to some degree, I felt like for the manufacturer, it would be a lot easier, to discern who to take advice from if the MSPs were certified themselves, right? I mean, we have, we operate in a pretty stringent way where, the product that we use to assemble our service offering is specifically picked, to work with a general business, but also things that, would be compliant, right? Product, the way things are configured, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As an MSP, we can sell anything, right? There's 150 different kinds of endpoint protection, but only, three to five of them can meet, certain levels of compliance. And so that's gonna be really hard for people. I can't imagine, going to talk to an IT service provider about this compliance need and not having the comfort, that the MSP is really comfortable with what's needed there, as opposed to just coming and saying, "Hey, yeah, I gotcha. We'll sell you all this stuff." That's got to be really difficult.
I think too, so you said something earlier, and maybe this correlates with that though, John, and you said about all these solutions now being open and it causing, so now there's more solutions and now finding out what's really valuable and viable and what is, I mean, I for lack of better terms, just not garbage, just not good. Is there ways that people can kind of filter through that? When you start talking about things like this, I think of those little things where something like a manufacturer trust is a really big piece of who they are and how they operate as an organization. So how do they know who to trust?
That's a great question. You got the gears turning. I wish there was. Maybe this, if the enforcement on MSPs to become compliant was a thing, that might be a way. But I honestly can't tell you an easy solution, to that problem aside from, being inquisitive and asking the right questions and making sure, that the people that you're working with are giving good advice. I think the marketplace, for MSPs is demonstrating to us that there's a lot more interest in CMMC and in this space, right? So for businesses like ours, we go to trade shows. I'd say for the last four or five years, there's been kind of moderate conversation about this, which was kind of interesting to us because we saw a huge need. I think the industry is catching on, our industry, and so you're seeing a flood of new product. It's new risk management platforms, new CUI enclaves, new security product that have white papers that demonstrate compliance, which is good. It's good to have those opportunities, but to meet compliance, you have to put it all together and configure it and live in a way that meets, right, what's being requested. You can't just buy something and plug it in because, the white paper says you're good. So you really need to have, trusted partnerships. You need to have someone who knows what's being asked, knows how to give you good advice on how, to deploy these things, and hopefully work with someone who isn't really interested in like presenting you all the menu options to choose from, but more focused on here's compliance, here's how we can take these pieces away so you don't have to think about them, and here's the few things that we have to focus on collectively. Right? It's kind of always been that way, but I think in some ways, because the marketplace is catching up, it's almost be getting a little bit more confusing. You can Google CMMC compliance and a product will pop up and you can say, oh, I can buy this for $50 a month and I'm good. You're not, right? You're not. And it can be really difficult.
I think
I'd
for me,
like
I'm
to add,
just
Haley, there that one way to help an organization gauge that and assess, like, is this product offering going to meet our requirements? And it was spelled out in the ruling itself, FedRAMP moderate certification. So whether an organization has it already, FedRAMP moderate certification, or they're in process of being FedRAMP moderate. So that's a way to gauge that. And it's a framework that's being followed from a security standpoint. So if you're looking for a cloud service provider or your MSP is coming to you with this package of tools and you know, all right, they're offering this Enclave for CUI data. If CUI data is going to be housed in it in any way, it needs to be that at least that FedRAMP moderate.
Yeah, I think for me, I've just been seeing a lot of things. I just happen to think of this, like when you see things, I think maybe it's bank or mortgage or who it is and their FDIC. So I didn't know if there was something like that where people can kind of look for something like that to know, but you just answered that. So that's exactly, okay, perfect. Good.
There's
Super.
a marketplace out there for FedRAMP products. So if it when in doubt, you can go out, search for FedRAMP certification or FedRAMP marketplace, and you'd be able to search products out for that as well.
Cool. Love it.
So are there any critical items that our audience should know about in the cybersecurity world heading into as we are heading into 2025?
Yeah. Any new stuff, meaning
Any
like any new threats? You know, I everybody is talking about AI. And I think the pace, the evolution, of cyber threat is accelerating. Unfortunately, it's kind of, I mean, you can hear the exhaustion in my voice, right? It's like, are you kidding? We were already feeling like there's an overwhelming amount of cyber threat, and the advent of AI is making it is just making it harder. And so as I'm thinking, and this is pure speculation, right? But as I'm thinking about rulemaking and how this affects compliance in this space, I think you should expect more, right? More layers. We're still not in a place where you can buy defense in a box. It may never be that way. As threat evolves, the defenses for old threats never go away, right? How long has antivirus been a thing? It's less of a thing now, but it's just something you have to have. You have to have endpoint detection, right? It's not gone. There's just a new threat now that works around it or takes advantage of people. And compliance will always try to be ahead of that in some way. So as new threats come out, you really need to be in a position where, as a business, you're looking at it that way, that, here's our investment in IT. Here's what we're being asked to do from a compliance perspective, and here's what our cyber risk posture is. And here's how much we spend on it. And year over year, you really should, as a business owner, feel comfortable that you know what this investment gets you, and strategically, it's getting you more. Right, it's getting you the next product and acumen and service that you need to defend against the new AI threat or the speed at which quantum computing is going to assault your environment. There's always going to be more things like that, and you just need to be in a place where you're not 10 steps back, and you don't know how much it costs, and how long it's going to take you, to be better. You have to make it part of your process. We spend a ton of time working with people on that. I wish there was an easier way to talk about it. As I'm speaking about it now, I'm like, God, this is so complicated, so geeky. But you can get it to a place where if you're working with the right people, it's just, hey, we're meeting one or two times a year. We're talking about the things that are changing. We're getting ahead of how much it's going to cost to do that and planning for it and finding opportunities to be more efficient so that the net effect is not huge and it's not a huge bump for us. It's just part of business, right? That's a big part of what we do.
Do you feel that the way CMMC works is for the Department of Defense, right? So anybody that is in that area that wants to be a supplier of, right, or contract with, they have to have a CMMC certification. Do you see that becoming something that other areas will start to try to kind of take on as a trend, almost like some type of a certification process?
We
That's a great
already
question.
are. Yeah, I think it's happening out there with PCI, which is for credit card compliance, for health compliance, banking and financial. You're seeing the same level. Those insurance companies that are saying, "Oh, you want to have a cybersecurity policy." When you go through their questionnaires, the security stack that those defenses that are being put in place are similar, almost exact across the board in all those areas. So, especially when you look at the credit card industry, if you take their framework for assessment, the controls are very, very similar. So, I often say this, I've probably said it on your podcast before. You can't just rely on, oh, I put in a firewall, I have antivirus software, my PCs are getting automatic updates, I'm good, check that off, worry about something else. There's just too much to it. And if you go through those different frameworks, they're all looking for those similar types of controls and security sets, and often are now built on that AI, that artificial intelligence that we were already talking about, that okay, it's being used in ways to compromise individuals. It's all also being used in ways to help protect you.
Yeah, I think that, we as a country have to do better, right? And it's a non-revenue generating activity, unfortunately, right? As a small business owner myself, right? Those things are tough. It's tough to take that on when it's not really helping you, right, grow business or help your people more, right? It's kind of a necessary evil, but the fact of the matter is that it costs our country too much to do nothing, and regardless of industry, it's a problem, and so we do have to find a way to move the needle. So I do think that other verticals will see pressure, right? And it'll come in different forms. It'll come in different ways, whether it be, being insurable, or maybe banks, pushing more enforcement for certain features in how you do business with banks, credit card and merchant services. It really, even nonprofit spaces, we're starting to hear a little bit more pressure, and that's super tough. They run on thin margins as it is, but it is something that we do expect to continue to ratchet. And it is in some ways kind of nice that the manufacturing standard is based off of the national general standard. NIST is a general security standard for all consumers and businesses. I think you'll see more of that. You'll see variations of NIST for certain verticals that start to get pushed out a bit more.
Would you guys dive in a bit to how MassMEP and Synergex could help the Massachusetts manufacturers in our partnership?
Yeah, we're going to create vision boards, and we're going to come up with all these new ideas on how we can be different and more innovative than every other state, like we have been for years. Right now, we talk a lot about, gap assessment. To some degree, I know that opportunity has been out there for a while, and we've really been trying to push it. But what I can say is that even that practice has evolved over time. Peter and his team do a wonderful job of making sure that we can pack as much value into those assessments as possible, and to really start to answer some of the questions that we always get, right? It's not just here's the scoring you need. It's what the heck am I going to do with this thing? How much does it cost? You know, do I really need to do it? Should I do that? Help me quantify what this means. And so Synergex and Mass MEP, you know, with that assessment, have really started to add more value in that, and to really sort of help people aside from just giving them what they need. There's a lot of state opportunities, you know, once that is done, to help remediate, right, and some financial assistance to help even sort of beyond understanding what your needs are. Let's get some of that done and leverage some of those financial opportunities in the state. We do this work, you know, in other states as well, and can confidently say that the work we do with Mass MEP and with the state of Massachusetts is one of the best that we've ever seen, right? I mean, the amount of money and services that you can get to help with this problem is right up on the top in comparison to other states.
I think what's kind of cool is we're working with a group with AI, and what they're doing right now is it's called the Kendall Project, and they're actually working through workshops. And they're collecting the data so that then they have the data to say, hey, look, we went around the state and we were in the Commonwealth and we worked with marketers and we worked with manufacturers and we worked with healthcare and we worked with HR and all these different professionals collecting this data. And then they're taking that back to, you know, the administration and saying, this is what's happening. Like this is true full-on focus groups. Like this is what's happening, being more proactive with it. This is what they're in need of right now. Like this is the direction we're going. What can we do to kind of help build that or, you know, find a way to add to that pipeline? So those are the things that I think we're fortunate that we get to kind of be involved in and meet up with, you know, people like the Kendall Project. And we obviously, you know, the joke about the relationship with Synergex and Mass MEP, like, but we work with everybody. It isn't just one of those things, but that is, we kind of do the same thing. You know, that's our focus on it too, is we're looking at these manufacturers and we are with a live ongoing focus group every single day, the BDAs or the project managers to know and understand what their needs are, and then to be able to pair them up with you to say and do something like this assessment that really kind of it bridges those gaps. They can kind of see them. When you're in that day to day, you kind of have blinders on almost where it's like, you know, it's there, but you don't really want to see it. And then when somebody else points it out to you, it's like, oh God, is it really that bad? Yeah, it really is. And not just because we just want to find something to say it's ba that bad, but just from our perspective, this is how we see it because this could be part of the reason why. And so I think us working together, you know, like we work with you and with other, you know, whatever it may be, you know, whatever their pain is in that moment they need to work on, it opens the opportunities up more and allows more of this proactive work versus being reactive on the back end of it and going, oh gosh, what do we have to do? I mean, there's moments, right, where we still have to be a little reactive with some things and we come up with things on the run and on the fly, but I think that's another big part of how we work together and how we're able then to kind of open those doors for the manufacturers and open up more vision forward and not hindsight, right? So looking, and maybe that's where the vision boards come in and that's where they can start to see that kind of stuff. So
Yeah, Mass MEP has, you know, an army of resources out there that can really have the lens of the manufacturer, and you see so many different manufacturers across the state, right? I mean, you have this network and this experience that is not that is it's not something any individual manufacturer is really going to have the time to develop and do. So, what are other businesses doing about CyRA compliance? How is this impacting other businesses, right? If we're in a place where we're concerned about CyRA compliance and we have questions, you know, what can you help me understand? Give me five, you know, other examples of somebody who's similar to me. Where else can you get that, right? I mean, that's really powerful stuff. I mean, all we bring to the table is, some of the cybersecurity acumen and IT and IT compliance acumen, right? And I'm not trying to undersell what we do, but I mean, you combine that with the network of manufacturers and the experience MassMEP has, I mean, that's pretty awesome stuff. I don't know if there are other places that really replicate it that way. And I think we've been able to have some meaningful impact in the state. I'm pretty excited about what we can do sort of looking into the future. I do have a vision board. I'm ready for this. I think there's some really exciting ideas that I've heard in the past few years on how we can do more. How we can take these experiences, right, and this relationship that we have, with the manufacturers across the state and MassMEP and others, and do something more, do something bigger to really make sure that this state stands out, right? It's a very important thing, and I think, yeah, over the past, I don't know how many years we've been working with you guys. It's seems like it's gone by in a blink of an eye, but we've had some meaningful impact, and I think that's great.
I think it's we'll be talking more about some of these things as we go into some of our stuff that we're doing into the new year and our events. And we always bring these important pieces into anything that we put out there for the public. We've try to intertwine more of who we are as an organization now into what we do and what we put out there, so it isn't so just kind of one dimensional, but it is definitely more multi-dimensional, and you have a lot more at your fingertips and showing that we do and we can bring that to the surface. I think so. My experience, so the reason I asked you earlier about seeing other industries is because I had an experience yesterday that I got an email from the school district that we're a part of, and
Our
the
school, yeah.
yes, hacked. And Kevin and I were talking about this, and the email we get back is always the, "Don't worry, it's okay. It's just your name. It's just the student's name, first name, last name, and email address." And I said to Kevin, I go, "That's easy for them to say. However, I look at it this way. I look at it as that's a whole new group of people that at this point in time don't really have much associated or connected to their name. But you have a name, you have an email address. What does it take then to then turn that group now into, I need to go get a loan. So I'm going to go use their identification." And then, and it's just funny because I think my point behind it was saying that you may think that it's just a simple, like we don't have a lot of data, but what people need to understand is they don't need a lot of data to make something bigger from that. And so I find it interesting that if any industry that they're in and they're collecting some form of data, either on a client, a customer, a student, you know what I mean? Whatever it may be, it could be used for wrong intent if it gets into the wrong hands. And so that's why I asked that, because I just think that people need to kind of flip their thought a little bit more on it and be more on guard and more protected. Like I'm laughing now, like we have cameras up and around my house, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, you're obsessed with it." It'll go away. It'll take me a week and I'll stop watching my cameras at my house. But like, there was a trigger in something that happened, and I was like, "Oh, we need cameras," And maybe did I go to the extreme? I'm sure I probably did. However, I live and hear a lot of these things every day, and I feel like almost this kind of, it is what it is kind of approach in certain areas
Right.
is not good, and we need to open up a little bit more.
We use the term a lot, be paranoid, which, may have a little bit of a negative connotation, but it is in some ways what you have to do. An event like that, I wonder how many people out there have either a password or a password reset that is their child's birthday. And how hard is it to email? And actually, I'll warn everybody who's listening. We've already heard reports of mass spam attacks against those emails that have been found. Basically, they're sending kids like, "Hey, what's your birthday?" right? And they're kids. They're going to respond. Some of them are going to respond. They're going to go, oh, you know, I get a free gift on my birthday. And to your point, right, that's a correlation that can impact a lot of people. And if you're thinking, oh, that's a lot of work, there's a lot of people, nobody's going to do that. I mean, these things get pumped into scripting engines and it takes 15 minutes. It really is not that hard. So yeah, some very real risk there. And I was very concerned about the PowerSchool breach. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I wasn't the only one. Like, I just find it interesting, like we're, and I'm not in your world, but I'm in a world enough that I'm just like, puh, really? This is the email you sent out? Like, oh, maybe you should have consulted with somebody a little bit more before you kind of sent this email out as if it's okay. Like, it's, you don't, we don't need kid gloves. Like, we're not the kids. We don't need the kid gloves. Like, be honest. Like, this is data that has been released. There was a breach. You're not safe. Like, you people, you kind of think they get into this world of, well, nobody's going to want to come after student information. Why? Why wouldn't they? I mean,
Very,
it
very easy
makes,
targets.
yeah,
Yeah.
it makes
Yeah.
complete sense. We don't talk about it. We don't discuss it. It isn't something that, my kids, they know how I am, thanks to you, and how fanatical the passwords and the mom, seriously, like, does the password have to be this long? Does it need to look like this? Like, yeah. And my
Yes.
passwords are, they're difficult, but
Oh, high five.
yeah, I'm still getting the text messages from USPS that my package is stuck in customs. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, you're not invincible, and it's just I agree, the vulnerability of something like that. I guess for me, it's, if anybody's going to take anything away, it's that everybody should be thinking this way. You should, no matter where you are or what you're doing, you should always be worried about protecting yourself and what's going on with your, it's very easy to, I'm going to lock my doors at night, or, I'm going to make sure I'm paying attention as I'm walking down the street to somebody's that's behind me. But how far do we think when it comes to, I'm ordering from the TikTok store, and where does that information go? And it, things, people, they don't see it, right? Out of sight, out of mind. And it's kind of, we're all good. No, somebody else can see that. A lot of people, if they really wanted to, can find that information. So people just need to, they need to be on guard, and they do simple little things. You've got plenty of that stuff. It's all over. You guys have great information, on your website, on your social media stuff. Like, just go through and find small changes to make. And, yeah, we started out with CMMC for the DoD, but we always say it's not just that industry that needs it. We do believe this should be a normal part of your business practice, no matter if you're in the, if you can supply or work with the DoD or you can't, you still should be doing this every day. It's kind
Like
of big.
Kevin, a little bit better every day, right?
There it
That's
is.
it.
There it is. It's a
That's
vision
it.
boards. Yeah. Vision boards. Yeah. Yeah. So, anything else you guys can think of? Anything that you, I did just look, I pulled up your LinkedIn. I like this, your one of your most recent posts. Actually, it was today, an hour ago. Did you know email
You're on
remains the
it.
most popular threat with over a dozen different threat types? And then you have, like, I mean, in the data in here, so then you have the different cyber email-based cyber threats: spam, malware, data exfiltration. I don't even know what that is. URL phishing, scams. Spear phishing. Okay, come on, guys. Seriously, spear phishing. That's a real thing.
is.
Domain impersonation, brand impersonation, extortion threats, business email compromise, conversation hijacking, lateral phishing, and account takeover. Wait, conversational hijacking. So people, like, I and get, can you get elaborate on that one a little bit?
I would add to that that to go back to your PowerSchool thing, the key to a lot of these areas is that password information that just got stolen from a whole bunch of kids that used that same password across all these platforms. that are now going to allow a hacker to leverage these other platforms to kick off a lot of these other types of attacks in a way that looks, oh, well, this is a legitimate account that's being used. It might have only been PowerSchool that you thought, but because this kid is going to use, like I said, that same password across all their platforms, you potentially have this broad spectrum of where you could gain access and start a lot of these other phishing campaigns and other things from.
Wow.
Conversation hijacking. I mean, if it all starts with a compromise, but I think that's where some of the AI stuff is accelerating risk, right? If we have access to a system and you can be part of a conversation and insert yourself and take it over, that happens a lot with email now, but it's starting to happen more with like text messaging. And I'll have you know, I just got a buzz on my phone, and from an international number, I got your vehicle has an unpaid toll bill. Click this link to pay it, or plus press Y. This is, from clearly a website that doesn't is not legitimate, and from an international number, it's like it's unbelievable, it's unstoppable. All this stuff, you have to be wary of it.
All right. Well, people like change your passwords, make them difficult, make them harder. Anybody that was hacked by PowerSchool, I mean, they did say, I think that they only maybe got the emails, their first name and last name. I think there was some data that they say wasn't taken, but is there a way that they can really know what was actually pulled?
I mean, you do have a right to ask, what specifically, was taken that is ours, whether or not, that's something you'll get an answer on quickly. That's kind of up to PowerSchool. I doubt the schools really have much of that information. I'm sure they're asking the same thing. Once something like that happens, it is difficult, but you do have a right, to ask, what was compromised, and you do have a right to change some of that information if you choose. You can have your child's address changed, right? So those are the sort of things you have to do. It's difficult. You got to gauge your risk and really sort of make the decision on whether or not that's worth the time, but it's tough.
Wonderful. All right. Well, that's good. I love to hear it. I love your hashtag now is just trust us. So
Just trust us. Yeah,
I like
we
it.
really try hard. We try hard to not make people have to do these things. Our clients, we do our best to try to own those problems for them. So just trust us.
That's good. That's good. Kevin's changing all of his passwords right now. He's probably still in PowerSchool. He's like, oh shit, I gotta change all my passwords. They got my stuff from PowerSchool too. I think after 7 years, Kevin, I think you're clear. I think they'd chop get rid of your stuff after 7 years. So you'll be all right.
Actually never even heard of PowerSchool before.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is it, Kevin? The more you pay, the less you stay, right? That's what happens at private schools.
Oh, yep, that's it.
I gotta switch my kids over. I think it's great. It's a great theory. Like, they're always off. I love it. I'm like, why didn't I go to private school? I would have loved it. So, but yeah. But thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for being here. And then we'll have you back again. We'll keep our eye on things, and if anything pops up, and we'll bring you back in and talk more shop.
Sounds good. Thanks for having us.
Good. You're
Thank you.
welcome. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See you.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, transforming manufacturing enterprises.
You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcast, or you can always go to our website at massmep.org.
We'll see you next time, whether it's in
our space,
your space,
or cyberspace.